Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today is taken from our epistle reading. It is our entire epistle reading, but with a few preceding verses that I'd like to read with you right now. So we'll start at verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5, which reads, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." This is God's word. It is true confessions time. In 20 years as a pastor, I've seen this reading go by at least 6 times, and I've never preached on it. Not once. And that's saying it pretty passively. To be more candid, I have avoided preaching this passage, because it seems to say things that socially you can't say. The cultural acceptability of preaching a sermon on wives submit to your husbands, it's pretty low. It's pretty low. But over time, a number of things have become obvious to me. Number one being, you cannot reduce this passage down to one line about wives submitting to husbands and say, that's the point. There's a far deeper point at work. Number two, people who are in married relationships need the insight this passage provides. Many relationships are starved for it. And number three, the mindset that Paul is describing here is a Christian mindset, a Christ-centered, Christ-saturated mindset and orientation of the heart that is not just for husbands and wives, but for anyone who is in any type of relationship there is. In other words, this is for each one of us. And first, we have to take a step back from these specific verses in chapter 5 to notice something, and it's vital that you notice it. It's vital that you notice and accept it, or everything else I say will make no sense. So here it is. God wants to be part of your relationship decisions. What the Apostle Paul writes makes it absolutely clear that God ought to be a part of the choices you make in relationships, even and especially the relationships that we have labeled romantic. I'm making a big deal about this mostly because of my own experience, but I suspect that a lot of Christians have done or are doing this now. You are compartmentalizing your life. Some of you, I see, know what I'm talking about here. You know what I mean? In this box over here, you put your faith life, your life with Christ, and that controls quite a bit of the decisions that you make. But over here, in this other box, you put your romantic relationships, and the rules are very different in this box. The expectations are very, very different. The voices that you listen to about what a relationship ought to be, there's quite a few of those voices being heard in that box. For some odd reason, it doesn't occur to me that those things don't belong separated. Great things will happen if I bring those boxes together and bring what's in those boxes together. If I involve God in my relationships. After all, He's the one who came up with loving relationships. He's the one who came up with the idea of a family, of a husband and a wife living in love together, them having children, and beyond that, living in relationships where we're in an extended family or just a great friendship. All of that is God's idea. And so it only makes sense that there is a way He wants us to be in those. He gives us each other so that we learn that way to be. So that's the first thing. Do you see how it's the foundation? It's not my faith life is over here and my relationship life is over here. Good things happen when Jesus is in your relationship decisions. And that gets us to our second point, where we can start to zero in on Paul's content. And the second point is, there is a relationship underneath our relationships, or a relationship behind our relationships that can give us great insight, can be an excellent resource for us. And in this passage, Paul points this directly at married couples, but it applies to everyone. What is the relationship? To get at it, Paul uses an analogy. And the analogy is that as Jesus is to His church, a husband is to his wife. And as the church is to Jesus, a wife is to her husband. That's the image that the apostle is asking us to explore. That's the relationship under the relationship. And what we do with analogies is we see what the comparison is all about. We work it through. We see how one thing is like the other. How is a wife's love for her husband like the church's love for Jesus? In what way is a husband's love for his wife like Jesus' love for the church? Now, Paul will actually spell some of that out for us, but it also invites your consideration and your imagination. If I am a husband, how can I show Christ-like love to my wife? If I'm a wife, how can I love my husband in a way that resembles the church's love for Christ? If I'm single, what type of love ought to drive my relationship with friends, with my significant other, with my family, my community? Plenty of food for thought, isn't there? And to help us think this through, Paul introduces the idea of something called mutual submission. Now hear that. It's mutual submission. Now before, I made it a point to read the verses that lead up to verse 22, which begins very famously, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." And I did that because you really can't understand verse 22 or everything that comes after it without the verses that lead up to it. Bible translation editors have done us no favors by putting that heading right after verse 21 that says, "Wives and husbands," because it leads us to think of that only as applying to everything that's coming afterward, when if you cut off verse 21, it's really not going to make a whole lot of sense. It has everything to do with what follows, because you've got to catch this. In verse 21, Paul is talking about the basic way that Christians should be relating to each other. He says, just by way of review, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks always to God for everything, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Did you hear that? Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is so crucial. Paul says this is the value to be lived out from one Christian to another. And this is before we even start talking about husbands and wives. This is what Christians owe each other in relationships. But what does that mean, mutual submission? What does that look like? There's a lot of ways to talk about it, and unfortunately, the word submission hits our ears today in a pretty negative way. It conjures up visions of one person handing out orders and the other person sort of meekly carrying out the other's wishes, but the reality is much different. The reality is that a Christian, a person who knows the divine love of God through Christ, can voluntarily and willingly live with the attitude that I am no longer my most important person. I am no longer the one that all of my decisions will be based around. I am no longer out to get my way at all costs. But what I want to do is serve the person who is the object of my love. And again, Paul says this applies to Christians in general, at first. I think you can see the appeal of being part of a community in which people are going around looking for someone to give to. Isn't that obvious? Doesn't that sound wonderful? A group of people who treat each other with great dignity, and how can I help you? A Christian is a person who can say, because of the gospel of Jesus, I'm no longer the most important person in my life. Isn't that great? And Paul then says to wives and husbands, take this attitude into your marriage. So again, what does that look like? Well, in the case of a wife, it looks like the love that the church has for Jesus. And how would we describe that love? The church is grateful and thankful for Christ. We want to serve Him. As a response to His goodness, we are able to devote ourselves to Him because we know He has our best interest in mind, always. And what we may want is not as important as what He wants. In the case of a husband, what does that look like? It looks like the love that Jesus has for His church, which is, first of all, sacrificial in nature. Paul writes, "Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, which is a clear reference to Jesus' willingness to sacrifice himself, even to the point of death, for his beloved. What he wanted in Gethsemane, which was to avoid the suffering, was not as important as what we needed. And so he followed through. He went to the cross. It's a love that looks to protect. It's a love that leads to the flourishing of his bride. So imagine what it's like when you have a husband and a wife living toward each other in this way. And praise the Lord, some of you don't have to imagine. Imagine what it's like when you have followers of Jesus living to each other this way. It's a beautiful vision, don't you think? Our connectedness with each other, our connectedness to God through Christ, is what Paul calls a profound mystery. And it is. It's profound. It is beautiful. It gives life. But this beautiful vision can also be a bit deflating because it forces me to recognize the times when I have acted like I am the most important person in my life. The times where the only thing that has mattered has been getting my needs met and getting my way. And the damage that's caused. The people that I'm supposed to love. But thanks be to God. I am the recipient and you are the recipient of a profound and mysterious love that meets your deepest needs. Because Jesus loved you and gave himself up for you that he might make you holy, having cleansed you by the washing of the water with the word to present you to himself in splendor without any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Take this into the depth of your heart and let it be a power source for the love you give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've listened to the voices. We've heard the world's advice, which is to do what we want for ourselves, to make ourselves number one on the agenda, always, always, always. And yet you come along and in your Son, Jesus Christ, you show us a completely different way to be. Different way to be towards you, a different way to be in our relationships of love. One that looks not to the self first, but looks to others to whom we may serve. We believe, Father, that this is the love that has saved us for eternity, that Jesus did not consider equality with you something to cling on to. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and allowed himself to be crucified in our place, giving up any sense of security and peace for himself in order to give us what was needed. This is the love that has saved us, and it's this type of sacrificial, self-giving love that will redeem our relationships with each other. Teach us how to do it by looking to your Son in faith, praying that this type of love would well up from inside of us, this forgiving love, this love that seeks to give more than receive. We thank you, Father, for giving us a glimpse of this each day in our closest relationships between husband and wife, between friends, between children and parents. All of this is such a great encouragement to us. May we know the perfect love that you have given to us when we see you face to face, all because of your grace. What a gift. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.